principals, military men, police, and they were rounded up. There were over 50,000 people deported from Latvia alone on the grim night of June 14, 1940, and from the other Baltic states of Estonia and Lithuania. They were deported to Siberia. At least half of them never came back. There were massacres. And so when the German army liberated them in June of 1941, these people tried to take their country back, and there were some reprisals. And you might almost have to say righteous reprisals for the treachery. When the Soviets came back in 44-45, there was more repression, more deportations. And then because Baltic nationalism in Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia was so hardcore, despite the fact that they had taken out much of the leadership element and just basically deportations and executions, they felt that the only way to really break Baltic nationalism was basically to import, I guess you'd say export, large numbers of Russians. And it was called Russification. It didn't entirely work. I guess they never quite reached the tipping point, the 50% numbers that you need to make it work. They came close in Latvia. This is the grim warning for what's happening to North America. We instead of being Russificated by a conscious outside enemy, we're being third worldized by an inside enemy, by the George Soros and the other usual suspects. But the spirit of these people, you're right, Jamie, if we could get our act together, we 200 million, well, probably 240 million, In white North America, we should be able to take this continent back, because most of us have guns, unlike folks in the Baltic states. If we could just regain that spirit, they'd be gone.
Yes, yes, exactly. If we can just, I mean, that's the key, folks. If we can act like a family, act as a family, we'll make it. If we don't, any other solution or patch that we do is ultimately going to fail. We've got to. This has been our failing as white folks for a long time, for centuries, is that we have not acted as a family. When Julius Caesar was rampaging through Gaul, slaughtering the Germans, we were not being very good white people. And in the 30 Years' War, when Catholics and Protestants were slaughtering each other, including my ancestors, my very middle name, Walrath, is from that slaughter. We were not acting intelligently or well as white people. We simply have to learn that lesson. Now that we're, you know, as you can hear in the American Freedom Party ad that runs every hour of the show, at one point we were 35% of the world's population. Maybe we could feel pretty comfortable at that time, at the turn of the century, or we could somehow become complacent and, you know, somehow justify that. But now we're headed for, who knows what the percentage is now, in a world of approaching 8 billion people, where the population of India, now surpassing 1.3 billion, is greater than the population of the entire white race, by a lot. And China, with the same numbers of 1.3 billion, and we as white people, if we may be, I don't know what your estimate is, Paul. I wish somebody would write a book. Here's another book that needs to be written. If you want to write another book, Paul, after you finish the South African one, somebody needs to write a book on the entitled The White Race, in which there is a thorough, just a very fact-based discussion of how many white people are there in each of our nations, where are the populations headed, what is the total population of the white race, how do we compare to the numbers of the rest of the world? You know, I don't think such a book exists, Paul.
I don't think as such, no. If I may put in a plug for an excellent article on the resistance today in the Baltic states, people might want to check out The Crusader. It's called The Crusader, and it's published by Pastor Tom Robb in Arkansas. The Crusader, it's their last issue, had a great article about the young folks who are in the nationalist movement in the Baltic states. And also, I might say, a plug for myself, I did a large, long article in there on the arch conspirator, Count Richard Coudenhove-Kalergi.
All righty, a good recommendation. Any recommendation towards Tom Robb's work is a good one. I'm just glancing here. You know, Laura, hang on with us there. You mentioned the Singing Revolution movie, and I'm just trying to find here.
Whatever you
read. I want to find.
You can get it on Netflix, too. Order it on there.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, folks, it's
so
all over.
Inspiring. Everybody needs to get that movie. So inspiring.
Yes. And the Singing Revolution, folks, it's all over YouTube for free.
Korean Air Force has relatively.
Let me just see if I can't. I just want to. It's so inspiring. It brings tears to my eyes. I sit transfixed watching these. I'm zeroing in right now on an Estonian festival.
Number one.
Let me see if I can't. I've got so many tabs open. I've got to find. There's a phantom tab. Here it is. Maybe this is it. Let me close this. Yeah, here it is. This is the commissioning of the Gerald R. Ford. We'll talk about that in the course of the show. Donald Trump, magnificent appearance on the Gerald Ford. It's commissioning yesterday. Listen to this sound. This is Estonians. You have to cry watching them. It's such a beautiful people. They're us. These beautiful, beautiful people in their folk costumes, in their ancestral. You know that these ladies got dresses, Paul and Laura, that got dresses that are wedding dresses and folk dresses out of their trunks from their great grandmothers, and they've got their beautiful hats on. Listen to these people singing. Gosh, and people, these are not professional singers. These are just the people of Estonia with their blue, black, and white flags flying, fluttering everywhere. No professional singers. And it's everyone. They assembled in crowds of over 100,000 in towns that didn't have a population of 100,000. They filled to overflowing stadiums, and they sang the songs that they all know. These are their folk songs. They haven't forgotten them. They all know the songs. They all look a lot alike. They look beautifully homogeneous. And it's just, you know, Paul, it's the dream of our people. It's what we... You know, our dream is not to have a lot of money. It's not to have a lot of power. It's not. It's nothing other than, as Charles Lindbergh said, genetics is everything. And these people have preserved their genetics. They all these beautiful young Estonian women and all these handsome young Estonian men. My gosh, folks, that's the whole purpose of our cause. My gosh, you know, and when you imagine the beating that Estonia went through in the 20th century, I mean, caught between the hammer and anvil of Germany and Russia, just being pounded, and somehow these people powerless, basically in that vice right there, they somehow, here they are today looking as beautiful as they've ever looked and sounding. Here, I'll just. Oh, and you know, Paul, what does that singing remind you of? It reminds you of the Afrikaners when they sing.
Yes, and I would just perhaps say it a little differently. Germany did not seek to conquer the Baltic states; they liberated them on their way to attack the Soviet Union. They did not set up, like a puppet government or anything like that.
But one thing the Estonians have not forgotten is that Hitler gave Estonia to Stalin in the Molotov-Ribbentrop secret agreement. All three of those nations given to Stalin for his tender mercies. And so you're right, Germany did not attack any of the three nations. But their ordeal began when Stalin and the Bolsheviks rolled in after the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. And they had been, they had been up to that point in 1939, they were free independent nations. They were free independent nations, as was Hungary, Viktor Orban's nation, and Poland. You mentioned the slaughter in the Baltic nations. Poland experienced exactly the same thing with the Katyn Forest massacre. There must have been other massacres that were just never discovered, but the entire, as best they could round them up, the entire leadership, intellectual, artistic class of, the cream of the crop of Poland, their finest, were rounded up by the Bolsheviks. And the way I read one story, they would run them around a corner, and around the corner was somebody with a gun who would shoot them in the back of the brain, grab them, they would kneel, whatever. One shot to the back of the base of the skull, for like super efficiency. Unbelievable that they had to endure this. And Poland now is resurgent. Let me come to Poland. But let me, just for a moment, Laura, if I can, it just brings tears to my eyes. Just play for another moment. And folks, just if you want to Google this yourself, Estonian Song Festival. I don't know the Estonian here. I have Estonian blood in my own family. So, I mean, this is, you can feel your own blood when you, but here is, I don't speak Estonian, but Mu Isama on Minu Arm. That's the song they're singing. And here it is. Let's just listen for another second here, because this is the sound of our people when we finally get it together. Yeah, well, boy, that's what I'm going to be listening to after the show here. Laura, sorry to taking up your time. Go ahead, Laura. More thoughts?
Now look what they're doing. They're talking about eliminating the national anthem from sporting events. They're taking little by little, taking everything away from us.
Yes.
Pretty soon there'll be the American flag, whatever.
Well, for the Afrikaners, they're... but I don't have it queued up, but I'll play a little bit of it in just a second. You'll be hard pressed to figure out, is it the Estonians singing or is it the Afrikaners? They've lost their national anthem. I mean, officially anyway, the Jacob Zuma government doesn't allow them to sing their national anthem. And before that, the Transvaal and Orange Free State anthems were suppressed. So I'll play that in just a minute. Now they have a completely fake national anthem in South Africa. But and you know what? As Simon Roach has been telling us on this show, what is the strength? Why are the Zetlanders, why is their organization and their movement so appealing? Notice that they're doing the successful thing that the Estonians did. And I'll just use the Estonians as an example because we just heard them, but also the Latvians and the Lithuanians. Not a shot was fired by them. It would have been futile for them to do that, suicidal. So they didn't even attempt a militia fight. They simply banded together as a family. And that's what Zetlanders is all about, using protocols 1 and 2 of the Geneva Conventions, which allow them to hold hands, basically, band together, form caravans, form routes of escape or protection, have shelters in which people can, women and children can be sheltered. And what that does, this is why the Baltic peoples won over the Bolshevik USSR. They won because they had staked out the moral high ground. It was clear to everyone and anyone that, you know, the KGB in Moscow had to look at it and say, these people are, they have the moral high ground. We will look like hell. If we shoot these people, we will look like hell. And we can't. These people holding hands from Lithuania to Estonia. But go ahead, Laura. I'm going to look for the Afrikaners here for a second.
Since you're talking about movies, a couple weeks ago I was watching the Spirit of St. Louis on Turner Classic Movies, the story of Charles Lindbergh. Anyway, they gave a backstory to every movie. They were telling there was an actor named Kerr. He would not play Charles Lindbergh. And because he said, well, he backed Germany. He was anti-Semitic and he was racist. So this actor, Kerr, would not play Charles Lindbergh. So they had to get Jimmy Stewart, who was 50 at the time. Charles Lindbergh was 25 when he made the flight.
Yes, 25 years old. That's correct.
Yep. And that's so inspiring to watch that movie. People need to watch that one and show their children who our heroes are. You know, I was mad when Tucker, when they said he tried to use Charles Lindbergh's name as a cut down of Tucker Carlson, that man did. Peter, yes. Colonel Peter. I was so mad. I thought, you know, Tucker should have said, hey, you know what? I wish I was as much a hero as a Charles Lindbergh as anything. I didn't have 200,000 people in Ireland waiting for me. I didn't have 1 million people in a ticker tape parade in New York. Have you done that, Peters? I was really upset when he did that.
Yes. Well, let me give you just a little story that connects with your story, a personal one. I was pumping gas in my car, my 82 Thunderbird.
You must have been the coolest dude on the block.
Yeah, my 82 Thunderbird, which is still in my backyard here in North Dakota. The gentleman pumping gas next to me, pretty hard not to miss, was Tom Hanks. And so this is in Santa Monica, corner of Fifth and Wilshire. And so I said, hi, you know, hi, Mr. Hanks. And I had a real motivation to talk with him because I had just read that week that Steven Spielberg had paid $1 million for an authorized biography of Charles Lindbergh and had cast Tom Hanks in the role of Charles Lindbergh. So he paid $1 million. He didn't have to buy this book. It was just a biography. He didn't need it. It wasn't a screenplay. But he was so eager. He was so motivated. He's ready to plunk down $1 million just to have the additional. This was the Scott Berg. The Scott Berg, actually, it's authorized but it was a pretty hostile, actually. It was a hostile biography of Lindbergh, exactly along the lines of, you know, calling him a racist and so on, and an anti-Semite. And Scott Berg himself is a Semite. So I got into a conversation with Tom Hanks, and I started it this way. I said, you know, Mr. Hanks, you know, you've got a, you know, you, I know, I've read about you. You really research your roles. You know, if you got an historical role, you make yourself look as much and sound as much, be as authentic as you can to the historical figure that you are portraying. And he was all getting, swelling up, and, you know, well, thank you very much for saying that. I try my best. And I said, well, and now I hear that you've been cast as Charles Lindbergh by Steven Spielberg in an upcoming movie. And he said, well, yes, yes. And I said, well, have you got a few minutes? I know a lot about Charles Lindbergh. So I'll give you the rest on the other side, folks. The movie never got made. I'll tell you why.
And that's really your wheelhouse, Charles.
Yes, Lindbergh. It is. I think I stopped that movie. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hold on.
Folks, folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I've got so sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being treated this way. So I made my choice. Gonna raise
we're back,
my
folks.
Voice and say it's time for you to
and let me resume the story here. Pardon me, Laura, for taking so much of your time here with this story. But you mentioned the Lindbergh Spirit of St. Louis movie, which was wonderful. I didn't know that part about an actor who turned it down because he didn't want to portray a racist and anti-Semite like Charles Lindbergh. By the way, in the 1930s, folks, Gallup did a poll as to who is the most popular man on planet Earth. Charles Lindbergh won, hands down. So I'm standing next to Tom Hanks, and I asked him if he had time to, you know, I knew a lot about Charles Lindbergh, and I was very interested that he was going to portray Charles Lindbergh. Now, what I know in the back of my mind as I'm speaking to him, I don't betray this to Tom Hanks, but I know that his director producer, Steven Spielberg, of course, is going to do a hit piece on Charles Lindbergh. That's baked in the cake. You know that's where it's going. And I also knew that he'd bought the anti-Lindbergh biography by Scott Berg, but I just knew from Steven Spielberg's DNA that this was going to be one of these movies designed to destroy an American hero, and that Tom Hanks was going to be given the task of destroying that hero by making him appear to be a racist and an anti-Semite and all these other things. So and, you know, and a very flawed man and so on, which he was not. So I carry this with me everywhere I go. I have multiple copies of the November 1939 edition of Reader's Digest, the most important magazine article, I think, ever written by an American, Aviation, Geography, and Race by Charles Lindbergh. It's right in the middle of a magazine. And so I quoted for Tom Hanks. I said, yeah, I know you're going to be authentic. I know your Lindbergh is going to be the real Lindbergh. And Hanks is nodding his head, you know, and so on. And he's, you know, he's like a deer in the headlights. He doesn't know what Lindbergh's real story is. He just knows that his buddy, Steven Spielberg, and they're a duo, by the way. Spielberg and Hanks have made many, many movies together. They're like a tag team. Spielberg always wants to go to Hanks first as his star. So he got a phone call. I'm sure he got the phone call from Spielberg saying, hey, Tom, you know, you're a big, tall guy like Charles Lindbergh. You're going to be Lindbergh in my next movie. And Hanks, oh, gee, thanks. All right. Well, so I read this to Tom Hanks. I said, you know, here's the man you will be portraying, Mr. Hanks, writing in the most popular magazine in the world, most popular man in the world. In the middle of the magazine, he writes, our civilization depends on peace among Western nations. We can have peace and security only so long as we band together to preserve that most priceless possession, our inheritance of European blood. Only so long as we guard ourselves against attack by foreign armies and dilution by foreign races. And you could see Tom Hanks, his eyeballs were falling out.
I don't think we'll make that movie.
Yeah, and so now get this, folks. You're going to think Kelso's making it up, but it's true. A week later, I'm at 2nd in Wilshire. This is at 5th in Wilshire pumping gas. I meet the star, Tom Hanks, and I went on for some considerable length. I told him I'm going to get you a copy of the magazine here that I have. I'll get you a copy and mail it to you and so on. I should have just handed him my copy right there. I'm stupid, but he got it. He got a whole – we talked for half an hour. And then a week later, I'm walking on 2nd in Wilshire, and there's a guy getting out of a car with a lady. He's just parked his car. They're on 2nd. It's Steven Spielberg. So I go up to Spielberg and I give him the same treatment, a little different. You know, Hanks, you know, a white man who's, you know, the bunny caught in the headlights. Spielberg, the nasty one. And I tell him, look, you know, if you're going to do a hit piece on Charles Lindbergh, you know, the real Lindbergh, you better portray the real Lindbergh. And I shared the same facts with Steven Spielberg, and he was livid. And the movie was never made.
Very good.
You know, there was a press release. We're making the movie $1 million just for one script, not for the, you know, for, you know, he was investing big money, and the thing went down without a trace. So, Paul, if I prevented that movie from being made, that may be the best thing I ever did.
just one of them, yeah. But that was that's really good, really, really
good. Yeah, I mean, it's an eerie thing to see the star and talk to him for half an hour. Then Spielberg gave me shorter shrift. I didn't get to talk to him for very long, but I let him know that Charles Lindbergh has fans out there, and we're not going to appreciate a hit movie.
Well, at least the movie The Spirit of St. Louis is out there. Thank God we can get that one on Netflix.
Yeah, and
enjoy that movie. And on a sidebar, they were saying that the actor Kerr, who would not play Charles Lindbergh, he went on to another movie. It was a total flop. So that was good.
Good for him. Yeah, yeah. I'll bet you Kerr wasn't his real name either. All right, we got a little break here, folks. And thank you, Laura. You're wonderful. We'll be back right after this break. Bye bye.
Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.
A distinctly American beat right there, folks. Part of our national DNA. And, you know, I'm going to return. We've got Fred in Pennsylvania holding. Fred, I'll get to you in a bit. Eddie in Ohio called in earlier, and we lost him. Eddie, if you want to call back from Ohio, we'll be happy to put you on the air. I just want to connect a few dots that we had going here. We started off with Viktor Orban and this wonderful thing that he was saying yesterday in Romania. We didn't finish that. So I'm going to go finish what Viktor Orban said. Then I'm going to play the Hungarian national anthem just for a little bit. Because these things, you know, Paul, they all sound the same. All of these great folkish white national anthems, they all sound the same. They're all coming from the same DNA. So we'll hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll hear the Afrikaners singing Die Stem. We'll hear the Hungarians singing their national anthem called Hymnus, or Hymn. But here's Viktor Orban. Let me go back to him. There's so much going on, folks. It's really easy to lose the thread. It's all wonderful. I don't mind losing the thread. He says, remember, Viktor Orban yesterday, he said, will Europe be inhabited by Europeans? Will Hungary be inhabited by Hungarians, Germany by Germans, France by the French, Italy by Italians? Who will live in Europe? By the way, let me connect this. You know, I have my Charles Lindbergh out with me. This is what Charles Lindbergh wrote in November of 1939 from his desk in Darien, Connecticut, where he lived. He said, this is what I read to Tom Hanks. Our civilization depends on a united strength among ourselves, on a strength too great for foreign armies to challenge, on a Western wall of race and arms, which can hold back either a Genghis Khan or the infiltration of inferior blood, on an English fleet, a German air force, a French army, an American nation, standing together as guardians of our common heritage. Wow. Okay. Now, so will Europe be inhabited? Will France by the French, Italy by the Italians? He sounds like Charles Lindbergh. Who will live in Europe? And then he says, speaking of this clash of cultures, Orban said, I'll skip down here. Skip down a little bit. Recognizing that other Western and European nations were taking many migrants and seeing their cultures change as a result, Orban declared his nation's borders open to like-minded Europeans. Ooh, sounds like Donald Trump declaring that Hungary is a place where, quote, Western European Christians will always be able to find security, unquote. Sounds like Donald Trump. Speaking just hours after Poland's upper house passed a series of significant reforms to their judiciary, a move which has triggered significant threats of punishment from the European Union, Orban also offered solidarity with the people and government of his Polish fellows, accusing the European Union of launching an inquisitional campaign against Poland to stamp out dissent against the European project, which is George Soros's project, folks. Orban said Hungary would come to Poland's defense and use all legal options in the European Union to show solidarity with the Poles, with the people. And folks, where do we hear that? Guess who? You know, when I first heard Paul Fromm on the radio, the name of his show was For Our People. For the people.
Our people. And on my own show on Pastor Rob's White Resistance Radio, I always say for our people. And those are the European founding settler people, the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, South Africa, the Rhodesia, and all of you who are listening in the European heartland. They're our people.
Yeah, and you know, Paul, who knows? You know, who knows what the greatest thing Paul Fromm will have done when he's joined me in pushing up daisies. Who knows? You never know when you're a preacher as Paul is. You know, putting the word out. Who heard those For Our People programs? Who caught the spark? The idea that, you know, we have to preserve our people. Did Viktor Orban hear someone who broadcast a show who had heard Paul? You know, you never know how the chain goes on. But Paul has been putting this message out. What I say is this: Viktor Orban sounds like Paul Fromm. And he's 54. He's younger than you, Paul. Somewhere, it may be just from his own genius and, as you say, the common sense of it. You know, anybody who thinks straight will think as you and I have been thinking for, you know, a long time. But maybe, you know, somebody heard something that you spoke. And let's listen now. Let me switch over here. I'm gonna play Viktor Orban's people. Listen to the Hungarians. Listen to what the Hungarians sound like for a moment. Here we go. This is the Hungarian national anthem. Hymnus ends in SZ, just like the name of Orban's party, Fidesz.
Oh,
bless the Hungarian. Extend toward him a guarding arm if he strives against an enemy. And they're doing that. I'll fade that down. That's the sound of the Hungarians. That's their DNA. Here are our South African cousins. Let's see if we can hear this. This is D stem. Tell me it doesn't sound the same. Weer jou, Zuid-Afrika. Us for you, South Africa. And that's called D-Stem, the call of South Africa. Ah, boy, I wish our national anthem were as beautiful as these, Paul.
I certainly agree, and that's why we in the patriotic movement up here always play the old anthem, which is the Maple Leaf Forever, Canada's present anthem, which gets changed almost every other day to be more inclusive, is O Canada, which is really just a dirge. O Canada, our home. And, you know, it's about as inspiring as a soggy piece of spaghetti.
Wait a minute. We're going to have to do a singing edition of the show with you featured. You're good. Oh, I didn't know we had
Paul, nobody sings it better than Don Cherry on Hockey Night in Canada.
Just back.
Yay, George. This is our intrepid East Coast correspondent, folks, George. And my goodness, don't let us forget, George, to talk about the commissioning of the Gerald R. Ford yesterday. And welcome to the show.
And thank you, James and Paul. Yes, wonderful national anthem, and at least it wasn't written by a guy who was face down in the bottom of a ship trying not to be shot.
Okay. I missed the reference, but okay.
To Francis Scott Key, that great hero. Read the fine print, and
okay,
there's always an interesting twist to that. But yes, O Canada shows up at every NHL game in Ottawa and Vancouver, and someone's always belting it out, but I'm sure there's a better one, and we'd love to hear it.
The Maple Leaf.
Paul, I didn't realize you are a resonant baritone. My goodness.
Say that.
Yes, yes. We're going to have do a show with the highlights. How do they say it? The highlights. No, they say whatever from Paul Fromm. Let's see here. What do we want to tie together? We've been talking, George. I don't know if you caught this part of the show. But Viktor Orban yesterday, while in Romania, gave a stinging repudiation to the EU and a wonderful statement of racial principle that Hungary, you know, Hungary must remain Hungarian, and you know, France, French, French, and Germany, German, and Italy, Italian. And if you've been speaking for us, of course, you say America, America, and Canada, Canadian, and the and all of that harking back to when we could, when America was great once again, which was when this was a, we were once a 91% white country in America, and I remember that distinctly. I lived in that country, and I know exactly what it was like. Paul was living in a Canada that was 90 what percent white?
We're talking about 1960 or 61, 98% white.
Oh, my gosh.
We're now to or about 78. We have undergone a demographic earthquake that I think is unprecedented in human history, short of invasion. I mean, normally the way populations change is a massive invasion of one group that overwhelms another. We didn't have that. Well, we had treachery from the very top, as did the United States and Australia.
Yes. And the and speaking of treachery, folks, you know, and you know, our Canadian cousins are such wonderful people. I know when I was a boy, or when I was a teenager, I always thought of Canada as like, you know, if it gets bad enough in the U.S., I can go to Canada, because it just seemed like, we a lot of us in the U.S., Paul, we thought of your country as a sort of paradise, just, you know, a bunch of Royal Canadian Mounted Police and Sergeant, what was his name, of the Yukon?
Sergeant Preston of the Yukon.
Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, and just, you know, just a wonderful place. And, well, you know, I was very sad. It was Paul who educated me that, no, Canada's woes are every bit as great as America's. And, no, we don't have any northern refuge. We both of our nations have to solve our problems in situ where we are. There ain't no there's no place to which we can flee.
That's why I get I won't mention his name because I'm not seeking a quarrel. But a person we both know is a guy of many enthusiasms, many of them very good. But a few years ago, he had the enthusiasm, we should all move to Uruguay. Why is that? I said, well, the women down there are really hot, and it's et cetera, et cetera. Well, I talked to people who've been to Uruguay, and yes, it's mostly European. It's very poor. There's a lot of theft, and I get a little short-tempered about stuff like this because we have to save our own countries. I don't want to go into exile in Uruguay or some other place, however nice it might be. I'm not even knocking Uruguay. I'm sure there are many places that white people would be comfortable, parts of Brazil, Argentina, and other folks places. But that's not the point. We have to save our own countries, not do the chicken run and go off to, you know, some other place.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We folks, we do have to stand and fight and solve our problems in place. The
shelter in place. Nope. I'll chime in. The other fellow that we all know, like we said, good enthusiasm, but the idea that we should all pack up and go hide someplace in the Pacific Northwest in a tiny little area and forfeit the entire rest of the North American continent, I don't think so. Not only impractical, but I'm just not going to do it.
I agree with George. I kind of echo that song. This land is my land, and there's both a Canadian and American version. But I want the whole thing, all of it back. I'm not prepared to cede, in Canada, cede the big cities like Toronto and Vancouver, Montreal to the third world. I want it all back. Every last square inch of this great dominion and every last square inch of the American Republic is ours. We built it.
Well, Donald Trump showed that too, that the agenda is national.
Yeah.
It's transnational, and he won basically the entire white vote. And if he were running for president of the white world, you would have gotten all the votes in every white country in every corner of the entire world.
That's right. And that's the reality. And, I'm probably repeating myself, but I never thought I would say the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or we call it the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, is better than CNN. But it is. At least, you can watch an hour of CNN. It's nonstop. We hate Trump. The CBC at least gives us some international news and some Canadian news.
We'll be right back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me, any man can be a fool, a man is hard to be, any man can be a fool.
We're back, folks. And I've got a treat here for Paul Fromm, our international advisor to the American Freedom Party up there in Canada. Well, I should say down there in Canada, because I'm to the north of Paul right now. Here I am on the Canadian border in North Dakota. But Paul, this one goes out to you. Here's a little treat here. And The guitar, by the way, that Stompin' Tom Connors is playing, he was hitchhiking to Nashville, Tennessee, which is where I'll be going on Friday to the American Renaissance Conference. He found himself in Nashville, Tennessee, in a used furniture store, and he saw a beat up guitar on the top, not beat up, but a guitar on the top shelf. He had $90 with him, and he bargained it down to $80. He wanted that guitar as his favorite guitar, a Gibson. And here he is, Stompin' Tom Connors, a real nationalist, a man who I think he wrote something like 300 songs about his beloved Canada, died in 2013. He was alive. You know, Paul, when we were a lot of stuff we were doing on the radio, he was alive at the time. Here he is.
C-A-N-A-D-A. Tell me, what's a Douglas fir? C-A-N-A-D-A. Bet you never heard a bobcat purr. C-A-N-A-D-A. Have you ever seen a lobster crawl? In Canada, we get to see them all. We get to see the maple trees, maple sugar and the maple leaves. We got the biggest wheat fields growing tall. In C-A-N-A-D-A, where we see the reversing falls. In Canada, we get to see them all.
Doesn't that bring back memories, Paul?
That's good stuff, James. C-A-N-A-D-A. All right.
I don't know if Paul got a chance to hear that even. Well, Paul might have been away from the mic. But Paul, folks, used to play Stompin' Tom Connors a lot on the radio. I don't know if he still does. But just brings back memories. We've got a caller here. Speaking of Nashville, Tennessee, Danny is in Tennessee. Danny, are you there? Can you hear me?
Come in, Danny.
Yeah, I hear you now. Yeah, you hear me now?
Sure.
Hello?
Sure. Yeah. I'm headed your way on Friday, Danny. I'm coming down to Nashville.
Yeah, I know. That's part of what I was calling about, because I decided I would go to that too, but probably just Saturday, I think. Drive up there and then go back that night.
Okay. Yeah, that's the Saturday's the big day. To give you the schedule, folks, if you want to join Danny and myself in Nashville, Tennessee, not actually in Nashville, half an hour to the west of Nashville at Montgomery Bell State Park. Bell, B-E-L-L, Montgomery Bell State Park. And for the details, go to amren.com. A-M-R-E-N.com stands for American Renaissance, the website of Jared Taylor. The man has been putting on these conferences since the 1980s. Don't go away, Danny. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.